Llewellyn's Pub is the place to be no matter what the occasion may be. Delicious, from-scratch food prepared daily, great drink specials including game-time specials, and an amazing atmosphere. What more could you want? How about brunch? Llewellyn's, Soulard, Webster, Wildwood, and St. Charles all offer brunch every weekend from 9:30 to 2. Save yourself the hassle and hop on Llewellyn's trolley to the game from Soulard. And stay tuned to learn how you can win a chance to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game later this year. Llewellyn's Pub, Celtic for good times.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hey there, fancy pants.
Play the man, this week Wednesday, sick.
Play the tunes, make
sick,
the
brah. Guys, Chuck, I saw Paul McCartney play last summer. He plays mostly Beatles. Suck it, Doug. That's from the 314.
Well, I would hope he would play mostly Beatles.
What about Wings?
Guys, it's going to be another super jam at Bush 3. The Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, REO Speedwagon, April Wine, Night Ranger, Aerosmith. Book it, baby, all right? That's the Bo Weevil of Bevo Mill. Mm. Basically anything played in between action at a blues game.
That kind of feels more like a local Native American casino type lineup. You know what I'm saying? I like the casinos, Doug.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a Native American casino here.
They got like in Oklahoma.
They got every town there in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Michigan.
Michigan's got a lot of them up there.
Yeah.
A lot of Native Americans in Michigan?
There's several Native American casinos in the Upper Peninsula. True story.
Think about it.
Okay.
Derek Gould going to join us here in a matter of moments from Pittsburgh Cardinals. Now 0-2 on the season after losing in extra innings. We'll get Derek Gould's perspective on the start to the season, and he will be with us on Mondays and Wednesdays here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines from the Post-Dispatch and the Writer's Block every day from 12 to 2 here on the radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Derek Gould. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much. Understandably, there's concern anytime the team loses to start the season 0-2. From an isolated picture, the offense and the strikeouts is a major concern. I'm wondering about Michael Wacha. When we had Rick Hummel on yesterday, he didn't seem too concerned because he really liked his final start in spring training, and that was encouraging. But overall, his spring was not good, and then last night, he was not good. First off, let's start with Wacha. Your assessment of his performance last night and the response you got from the Cardinals following the game.
A lot of after the game we heard about how good he was and how good his stuff was and things like that. But what we saw in the game was the the guy who looked a lot like the guy for most of spring. Who just didn't have, I guess, the rhythm or maybe the sync of his delivery, right? And had to kind of operate without his best stuff. You know, he is, when he's at his best, it's when he's got the timing of his delivery down and that angle of the fastball, the tilt that everybody talks about that it comes from, and then he can do all sorts of things. He can do more with his changeup. He can do more with his cutter. He's got a curveball that, looked pretty good this spring, and he had good uses for it, so he was able to get to the other pitches, but he's got to have that fastball command, a pitch that he throws about 50% of the time. And if he doesn't, then you start seeing him try to do different things with his pitches, like elevate the fastball, which we saw yesterday, sometimes effective, and one time roped for a double by Andrew McCutchen. And then you also can, one of the bigger tells is when hitters just lay off his changeup entirely. And that was something that Mike Matheny brought up. He said it bothers him, it concerns him that changeup is such a plus pitch. But when you see hitters not biting on it, not trying for it, then there's a larger concern because it's not being set up well or it's always out of the zone, so they take it. And that's what we saw last night.
And he was so lights out when he first came up. He looked like he was going to be a Hall of Fame talent. You think it's just the guys have got a book on him now?
No, I think that's part of it, but he can fix it by having, by getting that kind of timing back with his delivery so that he is able to wedge and shove that fastball down at the high angle through the strike zone. If he does that, Doug, then the changeup is really effective, and that's when he's at his best, and that's what he was doing early on. That's what he was doing early on last season. That was what he was doing at times in August last season when he had the microscopic ERA, and that's what he did at the end in his final start of spring training. So it's there. It's just a matter of putting that delivery together. You know, I talked to a few scouts, and they just say that, you know, it's clear when it goes awry that he has a very complex delivery, and, you know, he's tried to simplify, and that's one thing that they really worked on, to not make it have so many moving parts and not have it so, restrained by the rhythm of it, but to really kind of come to, okay, this is where you need to be at this point, and this is how you get to your release point. And he's been able to do it at times. It's just really finding it consistently, or he's not going to be the pitcher he can be.
Derek, do you think that odd shoulder issue he had a couple of years ago, and we've seen with guys like Brandon McCarthy, not a lot of pitchers have gone through it, but it has lingered over mm-hmm. the years. Do you think anything there? I know, you know, last night you look at his velocity and he's hitting 96 here and there, but do you think there's something there with that where he may never get back to what we saw in 2013?
I mean, if that's what's inhibiting this delivery, or if that's what threw him off, that's the entirely possible. I mean, he also got that rest last year and came back from, remember, he took, a couple weeks and came back just out of sync as well. So, I mean, if that's where it started, the long rest or the injury itself, and he tried to, you know, subconsciously modify or change something to avoid that, or his body is doing it to him, then it's possible. This hasn't been traced back to it because, you know, some of the things that you see from him, he did before the injury. Now, was that when the injury just hadn't been discovered yet? You know, remember, he was shut down for really preventative reasons. You know, they found a small stress reaction. That's what they called it in his scapula. You know, so it was a harbinger of a stress fracture. McCarthy actually had the stress fracture and had to modify his delivery, and has talked rather candidly about all the things that he has to go through to kind of protect his arm from himself, and to find mechanics that didn't put the stress on that same area. Waka never had the stress fracture, and instead they went on building all the strength around it to alleviate the stress that goes on the scapula, and in hopes that he would never have to change his delivery, which we haven't seen that. We haven't seen a change to his delivery. I mean, he still remains, when he's at his best, you know, that over the top, but there are times where, you know, it dips a little bit. But is that related to the shoulder, or is that just related to the timing? It's been more explained that it's related to this timing that I'm talking about than any sort of lingering effect. But I mean, it's all kind of tied together, so anything's possible, and he's just got to figure out a way to get through it.
How are they explaining all the strikeouts, 27 in two games? I mean, Nice is okay. He's about an average major league starter, and boy, they've made the first two pitchers look like Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I don't think they are explaining the strikeouts, and it's not just the two games. It's the Phelps there with the Miami Marlins. You know, not even a guy who was fighting for a spot in the rotation. He just tears through him in spring training in one of the last games, and it wasn't like the Cardinals put out a JV lineup. And they can explain away spring all they want, but you know, you can't ignore that that this season, especially with the Nice game, I'm glad you mentioned that, is very familiar from last year. Last year they had a record amount of strikeouts. So that's no small feat. You know, almost 1,300 strikeouts from the Cardinals, which the franchise or a team had never had that many before, and yet they still were in the lower third in home runs, still in the lower third in slugging percentage in the National League. So they got no trade-off. I mean, you know, the obvious comparison is the Cubs, who also had a historically high amount of strikeouts last year, but were one of the few teams who could have that. Well, maybe the only team in history who could have that many strikeouts and still have a winning record, because they had the power trade-off. You know, one thing to compensate for strikeouts is power. One of the kind of lineups that strikeouts are absolutely detrimental for is the kind of lineup the Cardinals have, where it just puts a speed bump in the offense. So, you know, I mean, I've asked at least I'm going to take a rough estimate here. I've asked roughly 372 times about the strikeouts, and that was just in the past 2 weeks. And there's just not an explanation. And it also doesn't make sense. You know, it's like, what are you getting from these strikeouts? You know, last year, Matt Carpenter was the individual who had more strikeouts, but he benefited from power, and he knew the trade-off that he was making, and he did it. And he led the team in home runs, hit a career-high number of home runs, sort of redefined the damage that he could do as a hitter. You know, now you're seeing a guy, and look, Liriano is a talented player, and he had more swing and miss. He had a higher percentage of swing and miss last year than any pitcher in baseball, even better than Kershaw, better than Scherzer, better than anything. Hitters swung and missed at a higher percentage of his strikes than any. So, okay, that's fine. He had 10 strikeouts. He's going to be good. He's tied the Cardinals up before. But to have 27 strikeouts in two games, I mean, that's the equivalent of an entire game that the Cardinals have gone 0-for-27 with strikeouts. And that's amazing.
I get the sense that they're just not aggressive enough. I see them take an awful lot of good pitches. I mean, it's one thing to say we're working the count, we're trying to wear the starter out. The starters only go six innings nowadays anyway. I would like to see them go up there pumping and not be concerned about how many pitches they've seen and how tired the starter is going to be when they're done. I just think they look at too many good pitches and borderline pitches when there's two strikes.
That's entirely possible. I mean, I don't see one form fitting approach for all of the guys. I think we don't see Colton Wong, for example, miss too many pitches when they're in the strike zone, but we do see him get himself out by going after pitches outside the strike zone. I think yesterday we saw Randall Grichuk take a couple pitches that put him behind in the count. That's like, well, wait a minute, that's a pretty good pitch. That's a strike. And then once he's behind in the count, then he expands his zone, and then they get in trouble. So, I mean, I don't think you see one form-fitting thing. Certainly Matt Carpenter's strikeouts are different than the others, you know, because he's more comfortable in a two-strike count, but he does leave himself exposed a bit to that outside edge, which is called on him more than any other batter in the game. So, I have a hard time kind of dropping a blanket over the whole lineup, except for the fact that, you know, each hitter or even the team as a whole could reassess itself and say, look, you know, they had 14 strikeouts in opening day, and again, Liriano is a big part of it. That's fine, but they had five hits. All of those hits were singles. You know how many singles it takes to produce a single run?
Three.
One run. You know what happens when you have a strikeout with 14 strikeouts mixed in with five singles? You don't score much. Yeah. I mean, that's not saber metrics. That's not higher level graduate class baseball math. That's stuff we can do on a napkin. Actually, that's stuff we can do in our head. And that's what the Cardinals have been for more than a year. They've been, you know, I call it labor intensive. They have been probability defying as a lineup.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like an odd concoction of players, even though, very talented, but top to bottom, you know, I'm just looking at the numbers from last year, and you'd think the Cardinals, they're so about the analytics, but they're not really a great OBP lineup, and they have kind of more doubles power than, right. More doubles power than home run power, and you can say, okay, you can grind out at bats like a Royals team did, but the Royals have a ton of speed. So it does seem like when you look at the guys in there, there's not really a natural flow of who should hit where.
I don't know if the Royals have a ton of speed. I think they have speed in right spots. I mean, you don't look at Hosmer and Moustakas and some of these other guys, Perez. Certainly Kane is a speed guy. They have other elements there, but I don't think you look at Alex Gordon as a speed guy. I think they have speed guys in the right spot. But the Cardinals haven't had speed for a long time, and yet being an OBP doubles team is pretty good. In fact, to be honest, that's really good at Busch Stadium. If you're going to put a team together that is going to take advantage of Busch Stadium, that's what you do, is you clog the bases and you put the ball in the gap. and that's fine. That's a recipe for success. In fact, that's what they did so well not too long ago. They had a team that hit, they had five guys with 20 or plus home runs, but those guys got to those home runs by first being folks who hit doubles, and then the home runs happened. And you build your game around doubles, and that's part of power. That's part of slugging percentage. That's also part of expediting the offense because, again, instead of three singles to get a run, it's a single and sometimes a double. Two singles and a double produces possibly two runs. So, the math is there for them to be a better team if they are an OBP double team. And you know what? If they all had, like, look, it's not a coincidence that Steven Scotty bats second yesterday, gets two hits, and they score five runs. That's what they did yesterday. They stacked the OBP, and then of course they got the benefit of production from the bottom of the lineup with the home run from Jerko. So that adds to it. But these things, are somewhat predictable.
Shortstop defense looks like it could be an issue too. Diaz made a play that cost him. You think mm-hmm. that's just early jitters for a young player? I mean, he's got a good reputation defensively, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a good reputation defensively, but that's also one of the reasons why they sent him back to AAA was to have him, become more reliable at game speed, have him become more reliable, just a day in and day out at a higher rate of how he'd have to do things. And, he rushed yesterday. He rushed on the double play. Now, was that related to the fact that it was his debut? Was that related to the moment and he recognized a chance to, save the team? I mean, that would have caused them, or that would have allowed Waka to escape still with the lead. All those things are a factor, and it was kind of right up the alley of what they wanted to have him work on, which was be ready and be calm and be able to make that routine play, even when the game, the speed of the game feels like it's a warp speed.
And if there's anything to be positive to be taken out of the game, I guess it would be that stretch of bullpen that they got, 18 outs in a row. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I mean, you can say that about the season or the spring or whatever. I mean, the bullpen is going to be dynamic if they get a lead. I mean, it was on full display yesterday, 9 strikeouts and 18 batters faced, just a run of perfect innings. O was very impressive. He struck out the side and, was very keen and just had the Pirates unnerved. They had no shot against him. So, I think that's going to be the strength of the team, and that's how they wanted it. It's just a matter of finding enough ways to take advantage of it.
Derek Gould with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines in Pittsburgh. Cardinals wrapping up the 3-game series tonight. Mike Leake on the mound. You can hear Derek every day from 12 to 2 on the Writer's Block with Benjamin Hockman, Ben Fredrickson, and Chris Gardner. Derek, we appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Gouldsy.
Ryan Kelly, morning after. Golf's first major right around the corner, getting underway tomorrow, and you can play 1 week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Whether you're a master of golf or just ready to try a new fantasy sport, you can play 1 week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Just pick 6 golfers before tee off. Stay under the salary cap and rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition, and you could win with every tournament. DraftKings brings the excitement of the game to a whole new level with every monster drive and every made putt bringing you closer to victory. And DraftKings is more than fantasy golf. You can choose from a variety of sports to showcase your winning skills. Millions of sports fans have already discovered DraftKings. Now it's your turn. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off. So get DraftKings.com and choose your golfers. Use promo code 920 and play for free. That's promo code 920 to play for free now only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Play for free. Derek Gould with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, and we'll be joined by new Post-Dispatch columnist Jesus Ortiz. That comes your way at 9 o'clock here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Think about it.
Okay. I just like to think about Ryan Kelly sometimes, Tim, and the money that he has saved me with my mortgage. Boy, when I had to refinance, Charlie, I said, where will I go? What will I do? Who will I see? And the name Ryan Kelly kept coming up as the guy to see, best in town.
Wasn't that kind of obvious? He was the title sponsor of the show.
Well, yeah, that's what made me think of him. That's what made me think.
And it keeps coming up because you literally do commercials for him.
Yeah, so if I ever have to do it again, this is where I will go, because I had a fabulous experience the first time I did it, and I'll go again someday when I buy my next house.
Oh, man, you fit a ball.
Yeah, I buy something there on Litzinger Road, maybe, you know, one of the big cribs up there. I'm looking at them now. It's all I can do is look, of course. I don't actually want to go in and have them say, really, you think you can afford this? Because the answer would frankly be no. But if I get something in my wheelhouse, Ryan Kelly's the guy who I'm going to call for my mortgage. Why? Because he just named the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest. And he was named that by the Scotsman's Guide. Number 3 in the nation for FHA volume, Chuck. Number 9 in the nation for most loans closed last year. This guy gets it done. They do it quick. They do it easy for you. They do it without all the hassle, without all the closing costs, without all the nonsense. So give them a call at 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. Or for more information, check out their website, thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
There it is, Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation. We will be at Llewellyn's in Soulard on Monday for our home opener broadcast, our show, Frank's show, and the Writer's Block, all broadcasting live from Llewellyn's in Soulard. And then a week from tomorrow, we're at Billy G's.
Ponied up
for a live broadcast of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
You think they might have just a taste of that Spadini?
It's time to pony up.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold this weekend, though. I was kind of thinking, I'll get out there on that patio and start getting intoxicated and seeing what's doing.
Another couple of weeks, we'll be done with all this nonsensical cold weather.
Billy G's is next Thursday for remote.
And when you go down to Florida, you wonder.
That's what I said, isn't it? What I said?
Next Thursday.
That's what I said.
When you go down to Florida, where you just were, you wonder, again, why do you put yourself into a life that includes winter when you don't have to?
Right.
When it's only about it's about a two-hour flight away, or it's about
an
eight-hour drive away, and it's maybe 10.
I like to experience all of the seasons.
Do you really mean that?
I don't.
Not really.
You like to experience snow and cold and
no, I actually
cars
like
spinning out of control and...
I like to experience three of the seasons. I do like fall.
Three of the seasons are fall.
Oh, you mean fall time's here?
Fall time is here. But think about this. If you live in Miami or L.A., you don't get a true fall. You don't get the changing of the leaves.
Okay, that you have to rake. And the only reason you like spring is because it's better than winter.
No, you have
good. We're done with the really horrible season, and now we can have one where it's still kind of cool and it rains a lot, but you're happy because it's better than what you just had.
Can I speak for me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do you want to speak for me?
No, you go ahead.
There's nothing that I like more than that first Cardinals opening day, and they take to the shot of the tulips right there, the tulips blossoming.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they play that same shot in September,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a stock photo.
Right, it's not a live thing.
But still.
Right.
I'm not
that's what I love.
A big St. Louis fan, like Cardinals fan.
I like summer, Chuck. If it's 90, 92 degrees, 95, I'm fine with
what
that.
What about like a crisp fall football Saturday? A little bonfire.
Assuming the temperature is about 60 degrees or more.
A little tailgating. Fine.
That's all fun if the weather's nice.
Fall it's not, time is here.
It's not fun if it's cold.
A lighter jacket, not a heavy jacket, a light jacket.
Going to be an asexual winter around here.
Yeah. Well, maybe then in the 50s, above 50. I don't like anything below 50.
I don't mind winter, though. Like, I don't hate winter.
I do. I don't have any use for it. If I never see another snowflake, I'll be fine.
You like to, like, build a snowman? Have a snowball fight?
When I was a little kid? Yeah.
But with your
now,
sons?
Now I don't really like to go out and have snowball fights, no.
You and John Vaughn and the boys don't go out
We've
there?
We've done that occasionally, but it's not like what I would much rather go golfing or something.
It's good family bonding time.
Mm-hmm.
The summer wind, Doug. Sup, Mitch Seestein. Sup, Tim. It's from Mitch Cumstein.
The summer wind comes blowing in from across the sea.
Sir. Doug, which season has the highest percentage of lesbianic activity? Thanks, Grandpa Pigeon.
I
the
would
Blackhawks
say,
provide the most likely scenario for lesbianism.
I would say the early summer months.
Right.
I read the other day that the most common month to have a birthday is February, which would mean...
There's more lesbianism
Well, that wouldn't really affect that.
In May, then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would stand to reason for what you're saying. Mm-hmm. May is the month of lesbianism.
Yeah.
Checked with Janie the Lesbian on that.
Yeah.
Interesting. When you had your kids, did you try to strategically have them so that they would be born in certain months or times
of the year? Well done, sir.
No. No.
Some people probably do that.
They might. They want a child that's going to be old for their school group.
I don't really understand that. I don't think it matters that much. I think a lot of people, maybe when you're 6 or 7 or 8.
But it can matter quite a bit.
Okay,
you're
I get
almost
that.
A year older
in
than
Little
the
League
kid
baseball or Little League hockey. But I think once everybody hits puberty and you're 15, 16 years old, you kind of weed out the weak. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be really talented or you're not. Eventually when we're all 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
And the really good guy is still going to be good if he's 9 months younger than someone else.
Yeah, the older you get, obviously, the less difference it makes.
So does it really matter that much if you really want to focus on your kid being a great Little League baseball player and being the oldest in the 12-year-old
league?
Well,
I wasn't talking about athletically. I was just talking about academically more than anything else.
Well, I care about sports.
People like to see their kids shine and be the best, and they have the best chance to do that at a young age if they're older than the other kids. And in some cases, they're 9 or 10 months older, which is a big difference when you're 6 or 7 years old. It can be, anyway.
I just think that all levels out. I don't think
it
really matters.
Well, it does.
But I don't see a lot of gain in that.
I think the experiences you have as a kid sometimes shape who you are as you get older. I mean, if you have a lot of failure as a little kid, I'm sure that's something that weighs on you.
Sometimes it makes you stronger.
It could, or sometimes it breaks you.
Sometimes you get bullied as a kid and you say, mm-hmm. I'm going to grow up. And I'm going to punch that bully in the nose.
Right. You say it, but do you really do it?
Sometimes.
You do?
Sometimes that ugly duckling blossoms into a beautiful swan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want him to raise my child.
Think about that, Doug.
I don't
Doug.
Know that he can. Are you taking on the children of the listeners, Tim?
Not really. I kind of like traveling.
You know,
you have a
lot of explaining to do if you had a house full of kids and someone knocks on the door and you say, don't get it. Don't get it.
Right.
Don't even look out the window. Act like we're not here. They're going to be puzzled by that.
I don't like to answer the door, Charlie. I don't see any upside.
I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
People dogma. Complain.
Challenge dogma. Unlearn.
What if it's someone trying to sell you something?
Exactly.
I will say this, though. My fiance, Doug, she orders everything online. Every day there's a box or two coming to the door with whatever. I don't even know what she's buying. Clothes, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So usually UPS or FedEx, whatever they do, they'll drop the package. The dog goes crazy anyway anytime anybody comes near the door.
Yeah.
They
do Otis.
A knock. This
Otis.
Is Otis, correct. So I always do take that package because I want to bring it in the house. I don't want someone to be able to steal it out there.
Right.
Even though I don't even know what the hell it is.
And that's the thing now with people following around UPS trucks and snatching whatever they put on the front porch.
But I will say this, and all my friends complain, my parents complain, I just never answer my phone. I could be sitting there watching TV, eating some food, I don't really have anything to do, and my phone rings and I just don't answer it.
If you
I
don't
just
know
don't
want
to talk to them.
Oh, even if you do
no,
know
it
who it is?
No, it could be my mom or dad.
You don't pick it up if your poor mother or father calls you.
I probably would for my mom. But I'm saying 90% of people, I do not pick up the phone.
Wouldn't their hearts be broken if they were to hear this?
I'll just text them back, like, what'd you want?
Are your parents streaming right now? Gateway Buick GMC live stream.
I feel like my mom used to listen.
Well, I don't care how you feel about it. It's a yes or no thing. Either she does or doesn't.
Well, I'm guessing she's not streaming right now. I used to tell her on Facebook and people on Facebook, hey, I'll be on the morning after. She could see that on Facebook, and then she could tune in.
But
I don't know.
How
really
do you think
that
makes them feel? Your parents are, what, in their 60s? 70s?
Yes, mid to upper 60s.
Okay, and they call their son that they love.
That they reared?
Right, who's about to get married, and he's having this exciting broadcasting career.
Right. Sure.
And he looks at their number as they call and says, no, I'm not going to get
no,
it.
No, I
Don't
always
think
call
break
them
their
back.
Heart?
No, what I'm saying is I always call them back very soon usually. I like to talk to people, we talked about this yesterday, in my car, on my commute to work.
So you call them at like 6 in the morning?
Oh, usually Fox 2,
seems
I'm driving
little,
around.
Seems a little quirky to me.
2, 3 o'clock.
You can talk in other settings.
I also have a lot of cell phone dead zones in my condo.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
You really?
I really do. It's annoying.
That sucks.
Like, I have to sit at my dining room table to get a strong signal.
Really?
Guys, Charlie, you're living in sin. That's not a great example to set. Thank you. 636.
For who?
How are you going to explain that to your kids?
Thank you, Doug.
I'll explain that it made financial sense.
All right. And if your daughter, when she's 16, says, well, you lived in sin, I'm going to go live in sin with my boyfriend.
Isn't it different when you're 30?
No. Oh, gosh, no.
I would think never going to leave his wife for me, so I figured
next topic.
This is the argument that that your daughter will bring up.
Listen, we'll just lie to her.
Good for you.
Okay. How will she know?
Well, I'll tell her.
How many times have you lied?
You're
going to
tell
kids?
Charlie's daughter?
Yeah, if I see her.
Let's be honest. You're going to be dead by then.
Well, I know.
You're going to be in a nursing home.
Well, I'll be dead.
Yeah, but we'll still be doing the show.
From the nursing home?
I think so. Remotes.
Like, oh, Tim here.
Remote broadcast.
Oh, I can kind of picture that. Doug has like a warm blanket over his knees.
A shawl.
Giving hot takes on the Blues and the Blue Jackets December tilt.
These guys can't hit. They strike out. These chairs are very like...
Hey, you have a squeaky chair, baby. You have a squeaky chair. Squeaky as the day is long.
I don't know, Doug. Either way, it'd be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Well, I don't know.
Doug Truman's is the place to be this spring for Cardinal baseball and Blues playoff hockey. Their covered patio is perfect for watching the game on their huge outdoor TVs. And Doug, if you need a ride to the ballpark, is that how you say it?
No. You look around and you say, anyone need a ride to the ballpark? And if they say yes, you go ahead and take them in the car.
You can take the free shuttle down from Truman's and Soulard to the game. Truman's and Soulard, your neighborhood bar. It's at 1818 Sydney Street or trumansoulard.com. Truman's Place in Soulard, a great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Send in your emails, themorningafter at insidestl.com. You're welcome to get involved by calling 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. That is how you can get involved, by calling in the appliance discounter phone lines. You can also text in and get involved on the show. Guys, I told my son he was at our wedding in his mom's belly. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Interesting.
Tough conversation. Tough one.
Is it really, though?
Well,
Doug, I hope you will move in with me so it will make financial sense. Thanks for the 314.
Now, why would I move in with that woman? I'm assuming that's a leggy blonde.
Right. Most of our listeners are. Mm-hmm. There's like a new thing going on.
A leggy blonde.
And this is really hot. Mm-hmm. There's a contingent of female listeners who are getting to know each other and kind of forming their own TMA female listener club. There's a whole thing going on.
You just made that up.
No, it's 100% true.
Are they hotties?
You have Chrissy, who I believe is going to drop by the show on Friday with Bobby Bestel.
Are they bringing food?
They said that they're going to bring gifts.
Oh.
So she's the moderator of the fan page. Then you have caller Jordan. You have Katie Kay. And, God, who is the fourth one? But there's like a whole thing going on.
Lesbians run amok?
It could very well be.
Caller Ellen.
Well, you have Janie the lesbian. Now, caller Ellen's not on the fan page.
Jackie.
Jackie may not be with
RIP
us any longer.
RIP question mark.
You have to have holes to get onto the fan page.
Right.
Jackie didn't have
That's kind of, you're excluding people there.
It does seem
what
like
What if you're born without holes? Right. Is it your fault?
No, but, you know, you gotta measure up to the membership qualification standards.
Yeah. Are you that type of person that you don't want certain people to use certain restrooms?
Right.
I really don't care.
There's nothing better than wearing a condom.
Okay, Jay. There might have been a time when I cared about that and I would be embarrassed, but as I've said in the past, I've reached the age where nothing really offends me or embarrasses me anymore. Absolutely, my filter's gone at this point.
Oh, Becky.
Becky
Queen
Thatcher.
Of carpet.
Becky is the fourth, the Mount Rushmore of female listeners.
And she's the one that stood on the flying carpet that hovered around the arch?
No, was that Wanda? Was it Becky or Wanda?
Well, one of them was Princess of Tile. The other was the Queen of Carpet. I think it was Becky, Queen of Carpets, and Wanda, Princess of Tile.
Now, this Becky, I believe, went to Harvard and is a loyalist, and I'm not making that up, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Can't you just say that? Is anyone really going to check?
Well, a lot of our listeners have Ivy League backgrounds, so they'll be like, oh, what class?
I walked around Harvard once.
How was it?
I went to Harvard.
How was it?
Very impressive. Very impressive.
Why don't we go there?
Right there. We went there, and it was... But right, I think it's the Charles River, and rowing teams were out there screaming and rowing. It all looks like it's out of set of a movie or something.
Did you pull a Good Will Hunting and say, what's your major?
I didn't.
Economics?
No, I didn't. I guess I was there for the World Series. That's when I was there.
13?
No, aught four.
Aught four.
I was there. Why didn't you ask me? Did you call? I wasn't home.
Why didn't I ask you what?
To go to see Hava together.
Oh. I think I went with the great Nam Furman.
Oh, no. Nam is here.
I remember him.
He was from Kiev.
Funny
was
dude.
My first lensman when we went out for the Blues and the Sharks in 2000. Mm-hmm. Oh, Nolan Blue Line, but that happened at the Scott Trade Center.
Did you go to any Habit Baz?
No. No.
Did you go to Southie?
Yeah, did you go to Southie? Those are my people.
I remember it took about 2 hours to get from Fenway Park to the hotel because they still had the big dig going on there for the subway. And
that's because they flew us into New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Did you stay in Providence?
No. Stayed in Boston. It still took about 2 hours to go from Fenway Park to the hotel that was about 10 miles away.
Get this. In 2013, we went back to Boston for the second trip. You know, it could have been a 7-game series. Ended up being a 6-game series. So we stayed an extra night. Happened to be Halloween. So myself and two photographers.
Don't say myself. We assume that you were there. And even still, it's bad grammar. Say you would say me. You wouldn't say myself.
Sure about that?
Yes.
You didn't go to have it, though.
And you put you're at the end of the list. And plus, we don't really need your name on the list because we assume if you're telling the story that you went, you don't have to start a list. Because here's a group who went. Myself. We know that.
Ipso facto.
Now, go ahead.
Okay, it was two lensmen.
Okay.
And me?
Yeah.
And we went to Salem for the Salem Halloween bash with the whole Salem witch trials from back in the day.
Oh,
they do it up big. It was pretty crazy.
Do you see any witches?
A lot of people were dressed as witches.
And
yes.
They acted like they were going to burn somebody at the stake?
They didn't act like that, but I think that was kind of assumed, you know what I'm saying, from what happened, what, 500 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
I don't know. 1400s, 1500s?
Well, was there even anyone in Salem in the 1500s?
1492. I mean,
they didn't even discover that.
So probably 1600.
Probably.
Doug, do you think Owen Nolan's skin is soft like Tim's? Thanks. It's from Mitch Cumstein again.
I doubt it.
Tim, this show slash you have infiltrated my dreams. I had a dream last night that my wife propositioned another female for, quote, some tribbing after the game, end quote. And I was so excited. Then my stupid effing cat woke me up. I almost killed my cat. Thank you, Ray Crankford. That's the worst. You're having a dream, and it's really going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then you wake up right at the moment where it really needs to get going.
Seems to happen a lot, doesn't it?
God bless America. This tribbing thing, it's really taking St. Louis by storm. I wonder if Mayor Slay will address that today at the concert announcement.
Well, they're happy to have Channel 2 in the area. They're owned by the Tribune Company. I can assume that that's who you're talking about. So, sure, they're happy with it.
Speaking of that concert, Chris Mitchell, the SID at Wash U, he texted me yesterday as well. And during that conversation, I didn't see the text, but he said, what if it could be Garth Brooks? Another big name?
Mm-hmm.
Is he touring again?
Problem is, I went to Garth Brooks last year.
Where'd you see him?
And it was at Scott Trade Center. It was sold out, huge crowd, but would they make the jump from that to Busch Stadium? I don't know. It doesn't seem big enough to me, but it was a great concert nonetheless.
I feel like Garth Brooks could sell out Busch Stadium. I'm just guessing.
Oh, sure he could.
That's just my two cents,
yeah.
Doug.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that could probably sell out Busch Stadium.
If there was one concert act you'd like to see for this show, who would it be?
Joshua.
I guess Joshua. I saw him at Lumiere. I saw him at Lumiere, and that's when I was first,
but Lumiere, first I think, Tim, what was there? Maybe 1,500 people there?
Give or take.
So we're talking more like, we're looking for 46,000.
But there was food there. There was a little
If you provide food for people at Busch, 46K would come out to see Joshua?
I'm supporting Josh. Out of town supporting Josh. Yeah, I might as well support too.
See, out of town supporting Josh. So it's not just a St. Louis thing. And so with the help of out of town, we could sell out Busch Stadium, no problem. So
which towns?
The ones out of here.
Right. Chi-town stand up.
Good point.
Yeah.
Doug, what's the greatest band you've ever seen live? What is the worst? Thank you. That's from Zambo.
Great question.
Joshua's the greatest that I've seen live.
Right.
The worst, I'm not a big concert guy. I haven't seen a lot of concerts.
You went to see Earth, Wind & Fire and you periscoped it.
I did. I saw...
Now you'll never be able to do that again.
Yeah. I saw Kenny Loggins at the Zoo.
By the way, Salem Witch Trials, 1692.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Finish your thought.
I didn't really have a thought on the worst band I've ever seen. I haven't been to many concerts to say these guys were horrible. I don't know.
Love it.
I would say if something heavy metal. If I the bands that I've heard in person, heavy metal, I don't enjoy that at all. To me, that's just noise. You don't have to practice. You just turn everything up as loud as you can and start banging away on things.
I wouldn't call this a concert, and this will give people even more opportunity to make fun of me. But when I was in Vegas this past week, we saw Steve Aoki.
Oh, that's the Cats guy.
The Cats guy.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you see him? You see him at that Wien?
This
or
was at
Hakkasan?
It was at Wet Republic. It was Sunday, and they do this thing. They call it Aoki's Sunday Funday or something like that. And this dude's nuts.
Steve Aoki is?
Yes. Most of these
Doug
DJs.
Doug knows his dad.
Right. Benihana's.
Well, I met his dad because he lived above me in my condo in Miami, and apparently left the water running on his shower, and it collapsed the roof in my bathroom, came right down into my tub.
So the guy that owns all the Benihana's.
Yes.
And isn't there an issue? There's an issue with the estate, I think. Maybe there's a divorce, and he's got a new, younger woman, and something's going on with the family. But anyway, that's Steve Aoki's father, as you know, and Steve Aoki's this big producer, DJ. And so he goes out there. Most of these guys are from, like, England or Sweden, and they don't even speak during the whole thing. Steve Aoki is just hammered off his mind. He's drinking champagne. He throws cake in the audience, and he like sings and talks, but he's a horrible singer. Like, his job is he produces the music, so he puts together interesting tracks. But he was out there just yelling. At one point, he said the F word like 20 straight times.
No,
he just chanted the F word, and we're sitting there, and we're pretty drunk. We're like, this is awful. And no joke, the second he got off the stage and they had a random dude roll up there, like the house DJ, and just play basically radio music, the whole party got better. Like, everybody enjoyed it more the second Steve Aoki got off the stage.
And yet they paid him $500,000 to do that.
Something close to that.
That's crazy.
But literally, at one point, he just said the F word like 20 straight times, just chanted it, and all these morons just chanted it with him.
Because he just discovered the word, or he thought that was cool, or...
I'm telling you, if you saw this, just for like an hour straight, he was crowd surfing, he was spraying champagne, he was singing, but he's a horrible singer. I think he was just out of his mind on something.
Oh, you think he was on Molly?
He was, maybe alcohol, but it was something.
Doug, the best concert I ever saw was Laura Branigan in Miami. Laura Branigan sing...
Gloria?
Gloria, yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah,
you guys pull up some Laura Branigan in there just to refresh our listeners.
She was big for a few years in the 70s, I guess.
The best live band I've ever seen was The Urge. Thanks. That's from Keisha Gray's Dental Hygienist.
One of the best concerts I ever saw, Doug, Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
What,
all
CCR?
The original members of CCR, except for John Fogerty.
Where was he?
He broke away years ago. Mm. But the lead singer sounded just like him, so they still played all of the hits. Great concert. Went there with my dad.
Did you?
About 15 years ago.
All right.
I also love the U2 show at Busch Stadium.
U2 in Las Vegas, I saw on that same tour. That was my favorite of that. But I also like Yeezy and Hove in Vegas at MGM in 2011. Oh, here it is, Doug.
This is a great song.
It's Gloria. And what's this about? It's about a whore.
It's about Gloria Steinem. She's from Toledo, by the way. Waite High School. Feminist. This is a good song. You hear this song, Doug, like, if you were vacuuming your house.
Keep your feet from dancing.
Or you're sweeping the floors, you just kind of start.
What if you were rolling balls?
Even better.
Like, you mean bowling?
Right.
I guess you could hear that in a bowling alley.
Or you could roll like bocce, you know what I'm saying?
Bocce balls, yeah.
Charlie, good for you. Lots of respectable journalists go to raves. I saw Tom Brokaw rocked off his mind on Molly in South Beach. Thanks.
First of all, I'm not a respected journalist. Second of all, it's not a rave. A rave is when a bunch of 17-year-olds on Molly go to a warehouse and do a bunch of drugs. Mm-hmm. When you go to a pool in Las Vegas and people are drinking outside, that's not a rave.
They had the concert right there at the pool area.
Again, is it a concert when it's a, like, some of these DJs pretend like they're still mixing the music live.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, a pre-recorded set list, or they go up there and press space bar. Steve Aoki, at least, I think, realizes that people get it. So he would just basically walk around and do stupid stuff while the music was playing.
And people find that so doggone entertaining that they throw hundreds of thousands of dollars a night at him for that.
As I said, I was told by my friend who works for the Caesars properties that Calvin Harris comes in for Omnia on a Friday night and stands up there and does whatever he does for 90 minutes to 2 hours and makes $500,000.
Also,
and that's playing electronic music that he
he produced the music. He arranged the music.
By producing, you mean he took it off a computer and arranged it.
But also, you collaborate with other artists and all that. Doug, he is a respected producer.
They dance to Gloria on Wolf of Wall Street when the Italian Navy saves them. That's a fun fact. That's from The Wolf of Wash Ave,
okay.
Also known as Chris Denman,
right.
Who is the host of We Are Live.
Seems like it, yeah.
No, he is.
He is.
He is.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Why do you say seems?
I just wanted to use it in that situation.
Plowboy, if you were to go to Las Vegas, and I want to make this happen, would you go to the pool scene like Charlie likes to go to, or what would you do during the day?
See, here's the funny thing. I don't have necessarily the pool body, but I'm so comfortable with that. Like, I don't care necessarily what my body type, what my fat content or muscle content. So I will go there shirtless, hang out by the pool, be that white 120-pound twink that everybody wants at the pool. So I would easily go to Vegas and do whatever the hell I wanted.
I think in Vegas, you have to go to the pool during the day. If not, what are you going to do? You're going to gamble all day?
I played them cards. Anna Marie goes to the pool, and we're always staying at the Palazzo. And so they have Towel Beach there, the adjoining Venetian. And you see all of the girls wearing their heels and their fedoras. And then, like, Bron shows up, and he's like, what's up? What's up, Tim? Like, what's up, Bron? And I wouldn't go there.
He knows you by name?
Of course he does. He listens. He's streaming right now. I couldn't go to one of those things. I just couldn't do it. It's not my thing. I don't like large groups of people screaming, bumping into each other, the standard D-bag, you know, wanting to fight and just being, you know, whatever. The broads are nice to look at. I like the more silent area of the pool, but I'll go to the pool during the day. But that type of thing, that ain't my scene. I'm not chastising it. It is my thing. To each their own.
It has to be world-class people watching, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like Orange County empties out. This is kind of like Lake of the Ozarks, except it's in Las Vegas.
I have a hot body, and I don't
I do enjoy playing cards during the day, but if you're with a group of 12 dudes for a party, it's kind of a buzzkill to everybody go sit at a poker table, in my opinion, for like 3 or 4 hours.
But I go out there too.
But yeah, if I went by myself, I would love to play poker for 2 or 3 or 4 hours.
But for most people, the cost of the trip would go up by hundreds of dollars if you just played poker.
No, man, you finna win.
You might win some money.
Finna do whatever you want to finna to do, but the reality is that most people, I'm sure, go out and lose.
But also, if you sit at a pool or you go to a club and you start buying drinks that are ridiculously overpriced, that's you're gonna pay either way.
How much for an Arnold Palmer, buddy?
Doesn't matter. You're gonna get that bottle service. Get them bitches sit over with you.
I don't need bottle service for an Arnold Palmer.
We've been joking about this.
What would it cost me? $10? $10?
Probably like you're talking like $18.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Cats and dogs.
They will charge you at these clubs. They will charge you. Because I was at Walgreens yesterday. I was texting all my buddies because it's just ridiculous. You look at a bottle of vodka at Walgreens, like with Ciroc. Is that P. Diddy's?
It is, Doug. It's P. Diddy.
Vodka.
Retails at Walgreens, right? Yeah. For $35.99. No joke, if you went to one of these clubs, they would charge you $800 for it. $800.
And no shortage of people lined up to give it to them.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I guess...
Think about that.
If you got suckers who are willing to spend that, you go ahead and charge them that.
But also, you have to pay off the fact that you just paid a DJ $400,000.
Maybe take him out of the equation. Take him out of the equation. It's cheaper for everybody.
That's why a lot of people show up.
And them bitches don't show, and then them dudes don't show to spend the $1,800 on a bottle service.
It's not about the DJ. It's about the music that they can get other places.
I'm telling you. All I'm saying is if you go to one of these clubs on a night where it's Calvin Harris or Avicii or Tiesto versus a night where it's nobody like that, there's half the people there.
Still a great night.
How do you feel now?
Well.
And such.
I don't know. I've not been in that scene to know.
You know, you're kind of...
I'm sure
Tim
I could straighten it out. I'm sure if I went out there for a while and took a little look-see, I could get her straightened out.
Tim brought up Wolf of Wall Street. And to me, you're kind of wearing one of those shirts. It's kind of one of those Wall Street shirts because it's a two-tone shirt. It's kind of got that Wall Street Gordon Gekko collar.
Yes, it does.
I think so.
Greed.
Yeah. Greed is good.
It's good. This shirt says greed to you? It's just a shirt?
You just exude wealth.
You think so?
Guys, I once had so much Molly in my system, I couldn't tell whose dad I was banging Sambo.
I had sex, and now dad is
so
dead.
That wasn't related to the Vianney father-son dance.
It was a totally separate thing.
Ew.
But I don't know that. I don't know that. I want that to be clear. Tim, you may recall I purchased a new whip at Gateway Buick GMC. I'd like to come by and get my reward day in the form of a couple. Nope. It's unfortunate. But thank you for supporting the sponsors, Gateway Buick GMC, Doug. They're at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. They're also online at St. Louis Buick GMC. And when LeBron James is streaming the show, he's doing it on the Gateway Buick GMC live stream. The all-new luxury 2016 Buick Cascada convertible has arrived on the showroom floor of Gateway Buick GMC. These top-notch, much-anticipated convertibles start at only $35,000. Take advantage of the Gateway Buick GMC Spring Sales event and lease one for under $370 per month. Yes! You heard me right. And yes, that gorgeous new convertible you see buzzing around the roads is a Buick. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. The 2016 Buick Cascada convertible. Get your convertible on and drive around Francis Park 22 times in a row. And see what the world
That's what they do. You just drive around.
I remember growing up.
Put the top
There'd be
down.
A guy in a Corvette, and he'd just keep driving around.
Just showing himself off?
I guess. And I was like 15, and I go, I think this guy's trying to pick up women. And now at 39, I'm certain he was trying to pick up women.
Well, was he having any luck? Are there fancy fillies just standing there by the street waiting for a guy with a nice car to drive
I really
by?
I think that's the play there. But I don't know. Could I mean, St. Gabriel's School picnic, though. All bets are off.
Could he have been looking for a lost dog or something?
In his vet?
Yeah, well, if you're going to drive around the park.
Sometimes I'll show up at Francis Park wearing a hooded sweatshirt,
not sure,
and sunglasses and a fake mustache.
But it's a good question.
Play. Yeah. We had to get in the car once to look for Arky. Now, Arky was
That's Ryan Arcidiacono. He had to pass Tim to Chris
That's
Jenkins
right.
For the
oh, my God.
Bucket.
I'll always remember
Let me
was.
Tell you, Arch, I think he was the most outstanding player.
He was in a Final Four of this tournament.
It's not who I'm talking about. Arky was my beloved West Highland Terrier.
Oh, okay.
Arky named
Do you
after
love Arky more than Bandit?
Well, about the same. Buh tied for first. Arky, of course, named after Arky Vaughn, the great Pittsburgh Pirate shortstop. This, going back 10 or 15 years, took Arky to the dog groomer, needed a little haircut.
Mm.
So then I go to work. Arky gets the haircut. The wife goes and picks up the dog and then calls me at work and says, Arky has run away. I said, what? Oh, yes. As soon as she got home and opened the door, Arky bolted. Ran up the street, running around houses, exhibiting very odd behavior, running for his life, it appeared. And I said, well, why don't you go looking for Arky? Get off the phone now and see if you can go find Arky. So she and the kids went all over the neighborhood, and finally they find Arky, who's just running around like a mad terrier, just a crazed dog. They get Arky, they bring him back inside the house, and then they get a phone call from the dog groomer saying, hey, you took the wrong dog home with you. Arky was still there waiting. Who's coming for me?
Do they look alike?
Not particularly.
Really?
I said, let me get this straight. You showed up at the dog groomer and you didn't recognize your own dog that we have had for 9 or 10 years. This was a different dog. This was Nipper.
I like that.
And named after Nipsey Russell for his performance at Wildcat.
Yes,
Goldie
and the people who showed up to pick up Nipper said, hey, that's Arky. That's not Nipper at all. So Nipper, apparently feeling that he had been kidnapped or something by this strange family, as soon as he got a taste of freedom, he bolted. He ran for his life.
Old Nipper.
How can you not recognize your own dog when it's given back to you at the groomers?
I'll say this. Little Otis. Little cockapoo, Doug. Designer cockapoo.
Yeah.
Do you like that designer?
Also hard.
It kind of felt like it was, look at me, I'm in Frontenac.
Like you paid, what, $1,300 for your designer dog. It was specially bred just for you.
I didn't pay for it.
This dog was especially bred just for you?
He was bred to my specific wants and needs.
Well, that's a Nancy boy operation.
But either way, so the first time we get a haircut for him, he's unkempt. Probably uncomfortable, curly hair. It's in the summer. He's probably hot.
He had tufts of matted hair.
Right. Tufts of matted hair. True story.
Well, we take him to the groomer every now and then.
And we got that, whatever you call it, puppy cut. I mean, I'm talking all the way down, shaven.
Buzz cut.
And when he rolls out there, I did not recognize him. Did not recognize
it. And so you took Nipper home.
No, I took Otis
home. Leave Nipper alone. Nipper was sure that he was a victim of a kidnapping. And at the first sign of daylight, he was gone. Didn't know where he was going. He knew he did not belong in this house.
I like the name Nipper, though.
I do, too.
I like Bandit, though, as well.
All right.
Doug, what do you like more, Nipper or Bandit?
Well, I liked Archie because there was a purpose behind their name. It was paying homage to the MVP in the National League.
Don't say homage.
Well, say homage.
No, I say homage.
That's an old person word.
We use it quite a bit on here.
Old Nipper.
Wouldn't you be scared if you were a dog and first they send you to the dog groomer, you got to sit in a cage for a while and then get your hair cut and get a bath and then some stranger comes and picks you up and takes you to a neighborhood that you know is not where you belong?
Dogs don't actually like sex trafficking, but for dogs.
It's a terrifying experience for
Nipper.
If you give
them a treat or a piece of meat, they will love you just the same.
This one didn't. And I'm sure Archie was there in the cage looking out and said, hey, what am I, chopped liver?
Right.
You're going to leave me here?
If you had a piece of roast beef in your hand, Nipper would have loved you.
Is that what Nipper liked, roast beef?
If you're being kidnapped by a person, do you care if he has a piece of meat? Or you just want to get away,
I kind of
right?
like that lion's choice, a little bit.
I think and so you would stay
different.
With your kidnapper if they offered you just a lion's choice sandwich.
Yeah,
so let me ask you this.
Too, though, please.
Let's say Bandit's at the house. Let's say robbers come in, right? And they're ready to steal all your stuff,
mm-hmm.
all your goods.
Sure.
But they have a big steak in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bandit all of a sudden, is he gonna keep barking or is he going to love them and sit and kneel and want that piece of meat? Even though this person's about to rob the house.
Mm.
I'm not sure about that.
Come on now.
I'm not sure that all dogs would take the meat over a stranger in your house.
All dogs go to heaven.
Think about it. Yeah. Was that 91?
Ish.
Doug, I'll give you a good piece of meat. Thanks, George Jenkins.
George Jenkins has been suspended.
Jorts
Jenkins?
Yeah.
Jorts Jenkins, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is just now going into the handsome bound Ragazzi suspension log.
Send in your emails, your thoughts on Nipper, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's a $20 gift card to Llewellyn's is the prize, so it's a very nice prize. And we are living in the Palmer Nicholas area of emails right now with what's going on with Cucky the Dwarf and Misty Plops. These are two guys playing their best and making each other better every day at 9:45.
Hey.
Jesus Ortiz is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's Ryan Kelly Morning.